Blog Talk Radio. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faint nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Have you not known? Have you not? Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak and to those who have no might. He increases strength.
Even though Good evening, my brothers and sisters. I'm thanking God for you for being patient. And we just want to thank God for this prayer line and all our brothers and sisters that joining us from all parts of the world. Let us begin with a word of prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, we come before you, Father, on this Sunday. We thanking you, Father, for this prayer line. We thank you, Father, for your blessing that you allow us to be able to use this prayer line and to come and worship and praise you. We thank you, Father, once again for your Holy Spirit leading and guiding us, oh, giving me safe traveling mercy and giving us a blessing throughout this day. You woke us up this morning. You have taught us and blessed us, and you allowed us to see this day. So now, Lord, as we come to the prayer line, we want to thank you and ask you, Father, as we are here, we asking for the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. Touch our hearts, Father, that we may share, press one and share of your goodness and the blessing that you have bestowed upon us. Somebody did not wake up today. Somebody did not make it. But yet, Father, we are here giving you thanks. And we are blessing, we are praising, and we are thanking you for the sisters and brothers coming to join us. Now bless us and keep us as we open up with scriptures and sing songs and testimonies and just sharing the word of God. Thank you so much. Bless us and keep us as we read the word and as we sing praise. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. And my brothers and sisters, I had something I did a study on, and I misplaced by moving a lot today and driving back home, getting here in time to host. I was looking at the secret rapture. I know it was Revelation chapter 1, and I forgot what verse it was. So, but I want to just say, it was talking about, let me see if I can remember, it was talking about Christ is not coming secretly. It was talking about how it's going to be in the clouds and the thunder and in the voice of God with the trump that will sound. And I will find that scripture. I'm going to read it later, but I'm going to look for it and I'm going to read it later. But I just want to thank God for his word. So I'm just going to read a scripture out of Revelation, and I'm going to read from the 1 and verse 2, and it says, who bear record, talking about John the Revelator, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that read it, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So I wanted to share that. And what I wanted to share about that secret rapture, that we all should know that we should be watching and waiting for our Savior, because there's no such thing as a secret. And as I was sharing with a brother, a person in Walmart. He was waiting at the door. I had shared a book with him, and I was sharing with him. He was wearing a ring. I told him, I said, are you a Mason? He said, how you figure I'm a Mason? And I said, I can tell by that shape of that ring. But anyway, he said, no, this ring was not. I said, well, anyway, I said, you know, Christ said there is no secret. I said, the Masons hold secret. I said, Christ said there won't be no secret, nothing secret about him. So I just praised God. The gentleman was listening, and he took that book, and he said, I haven't read it yet. He said, but I do have that book in my bag, and I was just sharing a little bit. You know, brothers and sisters, he could have shut me down right there and could have said, I didn't want to hear no more. But, you know, he kept saying out of his mouth, he said, I want to do the will of my Father. And everything, it was about his Father. So I just praise God that this young man, well, he's not a young man, he's 70 years old, but this man is someone that God saved. And this man almost lost his life. And so he's giving God praise. Everything he says is because of the Father. But he got all his jewelry. And he said, this is my, and so that's why I got all these symbols. So you know what? I just thank God that he is, sometimes when people in church, and I told him, I say, please read your Bible for yourself and just search these scriptures. So brothers and sisters, we just have to keep the people out in the world. We got to keep them in our prayers. So I just want to thank you for coming on and share, and I'm going to begin to open the line. May God bless. And that we all can share. Press 1, please, and we're going to open your line. And I'm going to say welcome, my brothers and sisters, to Advent Light Ministry, that here you can press 1 and you can ask for prayer requests. You can come and pray yourself. You can come and sing. Just glorify God with your voice. Amen. So we're going to begin. We ask that our brothers and sisters can begin to open the lines. Amen. Yes, we have 518-650. We have one that pressed 1. Your line is open. Can you give us your name and where you're calling from? Amen. Hold on a second. I don't know what's wrong. I'm hoping you can hear me because my computer is spinning. Hold on a second. Let me see what I can do. I know you probably can hear me, but it's going in circles. So let me close it out and then reopen it. Hold on just a second. I'm going to do something here and reopen it. Give me just a second. I'm reopening. Come on. I'm not getting good service. Bluetooth. Wi-Fi. Pastor John. And Trump. Oh,
Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh,
amen.
Amen. I can hear you now.
All
amen,
right.
Amen.
Is Sister Powell? Is Sister Powell?
Yes, Sister Powell, I can hear you. You can go ahead. I'm going to open
okay.
the other number in a minute. Go ahead, Sister Powell.
Okay. All right, my dear beloved on this line. We just want to thank God for what God has done. Sister Leela had a little problem a while ago. I offer a word of prayer, and I know he hears us, and she was able to get the line straightened. God is so good. He is worthy to be praised. This is Sister Powell again on Advent Light Prayer Line. And I believe one of our dear sister, our beloved sister, Sister Barnaby, is on the line, and I just want to thank God that I was able to see Sister Barnaby yesterday, and we have a wonderful Sabbath. We spend a wonderful half of the Sabbath together just rejoicing, giving God praise, and I just give God thanks for her, my dear beloved sister, to come and join with me yesterday. It was really a blessing. I will sing this little song and I have a little reading. There's no other name like Jesus. 'Tis the dearest name we know. 'Tis the angel joy in heaven. 'Tis the Christian joy below. Sweet name, dear name, there's no other name like Jesus. Sweet name, dear name, there's no other name like Jesus. If he will that I should labor in his vineyard day by day, then 'tis well if only Jesus blesses all I do or say. Sweet name, dear name, there's no other name like Jesus. Sweet name, dear name, there's no other name like Jesus. If he wills that delicate figure touch my feeble mortal day, then it's well if only Jesus is my dying trust and stay. Sweet name, dear name, there's no other name like Jesus. Sweet name, dear name, there's no other name like Jesus. Yes, my dear beloved, there's no other name like Jesus. His name is so sweet. His name is so dear to us. And all we have to do is to call upon his name and let his name be with us all through our life, because there is no other name like our King of Kings, Lord of Lords. My little comment this evening, a little reading to my children, to the children. I am telling you, these children are a blessing to me and also should be a blessing to everyone. So a prayer as we are praying for the children, children in the school, these children in the school, Sister Stephanie, Sister Nicole, and all the educators, you know, we find out that these children are running wild. You know, they are doing things that they should not be doing. They are seeing and looking, you know, and we know that the home is the greatest education, and also schooling for our children. The home is the first educator, the first school, right? toward the home for each and every children. That's where the children should be able to start to learn discipline and to learn the word of God by watching their parents. So I just have this good reading, you know, because my heart goes out for these children. I'm telling you, when we look and we saw what they are doing and what the enemy is doing with them. It said, God planned for families, right? He who gave Eve to Adam as a helpmeet ordained that men and women should be united in holy wedlock to rear families whose members crowded with honor should be recognized as a member of the family above. Ministry of Healing 356, and this we are reading from Adventist Home. Children are the heritage of the Lord, and we are answerable to him for our management of his property. So children are God's heritage, and we are responsible to him for the property when we do not really train our children, take care of our children, look after our children, love our children from childhood. He said, in love, faith, and prayer, let parents work for their household until with joy they can come to God saying, behold, I and the children whom the Lord have given me. A childless house is a desolate place. You hear, my dear beloved here? A childless house. So when a house do not have children, the Lord said it is desolate, right? The heart of the inmates are in danger of becoming selfish, of cherishing a love for their own case, and consulting their own desire and conveniences. They gather sympathy to themselves, but have little to be stored upon others. Counsel to a childless couple. The selfishness which manifests itself in a variety of ways according to circumstances and the peculiar organization of individual must die. If you have children and your mind were compelled to be called away from yourself to care for them, to instruct them and be an example to them, it would be an advantage to you. When to compose a family, as in your case, and there are no children to call into exercise patience, forbearance, and true love. The supremacy, true love, there is need of a constant watchfulness. Lest selfishness obtain, the supremacy leads you to yourself, become the center, and you require attention, care, and interest, which you can feel under no obligation to bestow unto others. I will stop there. So, my dear beloved, as I read these few wonderful counsel that God have given unto us, he have given us children because he said children are a blessing. And I say that, and to share about my children, and every one of us here can hear about their children and grandchildren. You know, I know they are my children. They are a blessing to me in my old age. And I am so grateful to God for some of the things that I heard they spoke from their mouth, you know, what they have saw with their mom and grandmother and grandfather and the love that they have gained. And I thank God that, you know what, when God have given me, as I said to them, these precious jewels, I was able to do as much as I can that I knew at that time to raise them, because they all are blessing to me. And not only my own children, children of other brothers and sisters. They are all my grandchildren and my children. So I just want to give God thanks for them. They are our special jewels, and let us cherish them. Let us let them know now. Let us give them their roses now, these little precious ones, and also pray for those who do not get that love and that comfort and that peace and that joy in their home, that their parents will show them that love, that they may grow up, right, and also win others to Christ Jesus. Thank you, Sister Leola, for listening, and thank you, my dear beloved, for listening to this song. There is no other name like Jesus, no other name sweeter than our Heavenly Father. Thank you for hearing. God bless you, all of us. Thank God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Powell. I want to first thank you for being a backup for me to open the line when my Wi-Fi was giving me trouble, because I work on hotspot now, and this area we moved, Sister Powell, I thank you for that, because I don't have complete internet. So thank you, sisters and brothers, for being patient. So I'm going to open Sister Barnaby. If Sister Barnaby is on here, oh, you are so missed. And I will open
Amen.
Your line now. I'm telling you, Sister Barnaby, we've been praying, and Lord, I'm so happy to see you on the I didn't know who was pressing, but I tried to open your line. So let me open the line right now. Amen. And 518-650, your line is open. Welcome, welcome, beloved. So you can go ahead and give your song, your testimony, your prayer, whatever you have, my sister. Well, you may as well say our mother, because she's another mother on this prayer line. Amen. Go ahead, Sister Bounty. Oh, my goodness. Sister Power, I'm going to need you to open her line.
Okay,
Power,
I have to go my computer. I have to go get my computer, my iPod.
Is spinning. So hold on, Sister Barnaby. My computer is spinning, and it's not opening. I don't know. Give me just a second. My computer is spinning, and when it's spinning like that, it's not connecting to the internet. So, brothers and sisters, please be patient.
I am looking.
Open her line, and she won't be long. I thank you all for joining in with us. And brothers and sisters, we have family. We call everybody on. When they join us, we all face down. And we have people from the Netherlands, from Japan. We have people that join in with us of the country. So we just thank God for this prayer line, and especially God bringing some back to the prayer line. So we thank you. I see Sister Barnaby's hand still up. Sister Power will open her line, and she's trying to get it right quick, so please be patient with us. But Sister Power, while you open it, I'm going to read a scripture on mother as you were just reading. I want to read Isaiah. As Sister Power gets ready to open it. Okay, go ahead, Sister Power. I'm going to read two scriptures and open Sister Barnaby's line. So I'm reading two scriptures, sisters and brother. I'm reading Isaiah 66 and verse 13. They say, as one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comfort in Jerusalem. And I want to read Proverbs 25. I think it's 25 through 27. And it says, strengthen and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the time to come. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looked well to the ways of her household, and she eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and her praise and praise her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellent them all, excel them all. Ain't that something, sisters and brothers? She said, many daughters have done virtually, but thou, the mother, excel them all. That is a blessing. Go ahead, Sister Powell. Your line.
Okay, you want me to order?
518-650.
Yes, my line is open.
Amen.
Yes, I'm going to read Psalms 91, verses 3 and 4. Psalms 91, verses 3 and 4. Oh, Father, as I open your word, O God, and as I read your word, let it be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snares of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. O Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Lord, as we come before you this evening, and as I read your scripture, O God, you will deliver us from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. You shall cover us under your wings, O God. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your keeping care. Thank you for your tender mercy. Thank you for keeping us from all harms and danger. Thank you for waking us up in our rightful mind, O God. And as I go on the road and come back, you have bring me safe and you have bring me back safe. So thank you, Lord, for protecting me, for guiding me, for shielding me from the hands of the enemy who is out like a roaring lion trying to devour your people. But, oh God, I trust in you. I trust in you with all my heart, oh God. And I lean not unto my own understanding. Heavenly Father, I give myself to you. Please, Lord, there's nothing I can do on my own. And there's nothing no one can do for me. The only one who can protect me, who can shield me, who can guide me, is you, Heavenly Father. So please, Lord, anoint me, purify me, cleanse me, purge me, O God. And Lord, make me to what you want me to be and not what I want to be. Because whatever I want to be is nothing. What you want to me to be, that's what I should be. Heavenly Father, in this hard time, in this struggling time, in this time where it is like there's no hope, but oh God, because you are the only hope. All we have to do is depend on you. Because, and oh God, so we need your care, we need your protection. We need your guidance, Father. Please, mighty God, have your way in our life, that your will be done. Be with all the children, O God. Be with every mother, every father. And be with all those who have life. Help us to come before you and to bow to you and to give our all in all to you, because you will take us through. Father, be with this prayer line, O God. And I started back on this prayer line. Help me to be a light on this prayer line. To keep up with good work, O God, so that you may bless me and lead me in the path of righteousness. Bless all of us on this prayer line and be with our families. Guard and guide us, O God. Keep us from all harm, from all danger, from evil seen and unseen. Protect us and bring us through this time. Mold us and fashion us into your likeness, O God, and make us into what you want us to be. Thank you for hearing. Thank you for answering. Thank you for what you have been doing, what you're doing now, and what you continue to do. I pray and I ask in the holy name of Jesus Christ with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Sister Leola? Sister Leola? Thank
Sister Powell,
Sister,
you can hear me.
Okay, yes. I thank
yes.
Sister Barnaby for that prayer and also that reading, and we welcome you on Advent once more. and give God the praise because he's worthy to be praised. All right, so thank you again for sharing. Your line is clear, Sister Bond, Sister Leola. You can open or you want me to stay open?
It's still open, Sister Powell, because the Barnaby line is still turning. So open Brother Rick, because I'm thinking that if I open him, he's spinning too. So my computer.
518-744, your line is open.
Yes, thank you, Sister Powell, for opening my line. This is Brother Rick from Fort Ann, New York, and I'm just listening in, and I'm so grateful to hear Sister Powell and that beautiful song, Sweet Name, Dear Name. What a beautiful song. Thank you, Sister Powell, for that, and Sister Barbie, it's good to hear her. We haven't heard her in quite some time, and just praise the Lord that she is able to get on tonight, and praise the Lord that Sister Powell is able to open the lines for Sister Powell or for Sister Leola. And I'm just thanking God for his goodness to me. And, I had my wife and I went out to visit my mom and dad this weekend. So, visit my mom for Mother's Day. They've been having a little bit of a hard time waiting for their house to Things are moving now. They finally tore down their house this past week. They came in with some big machines and tore that all down. And next weekend, next Sunday, I'll be going out to take the floor off. We have to take that off by hand so we don't ruin the foundation. And just a little testimony on that, brothers and sisters. Oh, God is good. I had four or five people lined up to go help me do that. And as time went on, all of a sudden, three of the people, he had other commitments. Pathfinders was having a camp out, so two of them had to go to that. My son had some things to do with his children this next weekend, so he couldn't go. Had some other people that I was going to ask, and they couldn't go. And all of a sudden, I woke up the other morning about 3 a.m., and I was just worried. It's like, okay, Lord, what am I going to do? I don't have anybody to help me, and I can't do it by myself. I have one guy that's going to come out to help me, and two of us can't do it. And I have to have it all done in one day because I can't be out there. So I just started praying, and I said, okay, Lord, whatever is going to happen. You are going to have to make it happen. And, I got up about, it was a little after 4 a.m. instead of reading scriptures and praying and communing with God. And, a peace came over me, and I did not worry about it anymore. So I picked up my dad on Sabbath morning and took him to church out where he lived. And we got to Sabbath school, and we were in Sabbath school, and right after Sabbath school, one of the members there came up and said, hey, you're going to be coming next weekend to help your dad with his health. I said, yes. And one of the other people heard that and said, his house, actually this other gentleman's house burned shortly after my mom and dad's house burned, and he's been working on his house this whole time, and he's in a spot right now where he's waiting for some things to get done just so he can continue. He said, oh, I'd be happy to come over and help you guys. And he said, I'll make an announcement in church. So he got up front. He's actually the head elder there. He got up and he made an announcement in church that we'd be needing some help on the 21st. And all of a sudden, a couple of hands raised up and said, well, what time do we have to be there? And he said, well, 9 o'clock in the morning. And, I just couldn't believe it because the prayer that I had prayed to God for help was answered at that moment. I don't know how God works these things out, but he does. And he is faithful. He is good. We have to give him those burdens. We have to give him those troubles, those cares. And, he will He'll give us the peace, and then he will make things happen that we cannot make happen. So on that note, Sister, I just wanted to read a scripture here that I've been studying and meditating upon here. one of these days I'd like to do a presentation on this, but tonight is not the night. So, but this is John 12, verse 35. Then Jesus said to them, "A little while longer, the light is with you. Walk where you have the light, darkness overtakes you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." So Jesus is the light. He said, you know, walk in the light. Okay? If you do not walk in the light, you'll be walking in the darkness. And when we walk in darkness, what happens? We become afraid. We don't see things as they clearly are. We want to try to work things out on our own because we are afraid, and we mess up God's plan for us. So let us all walk in the light, brothers and sisters, and as we consider how to do that, you know, one of the very most important things that we can do is be in the scriptures each day. So let us study those scriptures. Let us meditate on them. Let us read them, memorize them, learn them, and then we will be in the light, and then Christ will live in us, and he will live through us. So I just wanted to leave my brothers and sisters with that. And like I say, I'm working on a message based on a few texts here, and one of them is John 12:35. So let us continue walking in the light, brothers and sisters, and just praising the Lord for his goodness and his mercy and his grace to us. And I'm just want to lift up my family in prayer. My daughter, Ashley, which we've been praying for her for a long time. But I have four other daughters, too. So please pray for her family and my wife. She has been doing quite well under a lot of pressure at work. But you know what? God is good, and he has been taking care of her. So please continue praying for me and my family, and I will pray for you. I was up the other morning at 4:30 in the morning, and I was lifting up my brothers and sisters on the prayer line. So please continue lifting up to you. Thank you, Sister Paula Fulton, the line, and thank you, Sister Leola, for hosting today.
Amen. Amen, Sister Leola. You would like to hear? Thank Brother Rick for coming on, and also, you want to thank
me? I'm working with my internet. Go ahead. Trying to get my internet up.
Yes, I want to thank Brother Rick for coming on, and Brother Rick, God answer your prayer, because you were saying you need help, right? And the Lord said that before you talk, he will answer your cry. And when while you were in church and you mentioned it, and you got the help. So we pray, Brother Rick, that God will open out the storehouse from heaven, pour out a blessing on you and your mother's house, because you are the one who are doing so much, you know, for others. So I do know that God is going to help you. God is going to help you, Brother Rick, you know, in doing that, right? So thank you again, Brother Rick, for sharing. My phone is ringing so much. Thank you for sharing. Opening this line. Opening 9-8-9-8-5-2-3-2. Your line is open. Can you tell your name and where you're calling from?
Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. Excuse me. I just want to thank God for his blessings, for watching over us and waking us up this morning. Just want to thank him for all the works, all the goodness he's done for us, blessing us in general. I'd like to read a prayer. Lord, thank you for giving us hope for eternity. It comforts us to know that the faithfulness who have gone before us are now at rest with you. Please comfort us in our sorrow and fill us with your peace so that we too may faithfully live our days until you call us to rest. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. I just want to thank the Lord for his kind words so that we may take them and take heed and understand them and have something to go by so that we can live our daily life. And I just want to thank God because he's worthy to praise. And without God, we can't do nothing because there's nothing else we want to do because put him first because if we don't, we'll fail. So I just want to thank him. I just want to ask for prayer for my family. We have a death in our family. Our my brother, the brother that was the minister that passed, his grandson got shot and killed. And that was one of his little boys. He's the junior, Isaac Jr. son. Neola haven't heard yet. I didn't get a chance to call her. So I have to call her if she's not on the line listening. That was our nephew, great nephew. So he got shot. So it's like for prayer for our family. And just pray for Advent Light and all the other kids that's running the streets and everybody else running the streets. And it's not looking or listening to others to find God because they talked to him and he didn't listen. So they're asking to come in. But, you know, they're grown and just don't get to talk so much. And we could pray for them, and we're going to continue to pray for the ones out there. And God is the only way to have to confess their own sins. So we just want to thank God and pray for our brothers and sisters and all the hospitals and everywhere. Amen. Brother John.
Amen.
Amen.
Hello, this is Brother John from Louisiana, and just want to say thank God. Thank God. I was thinking about the Bible, the things that we read and stuff. I think about how powerful the Bible is to myself just now, and I was thinking about the things that it teaches us, and thank God for bringing the prayer line to life and everything to teach us and guide us the way that the Bible has written and living, really focusing on that type of life like the Bible so we can be on that straight and narrow and our life could be more abundant and more wonderful and stay on that path right there to everyone and everything will be okay. God bless. Amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Brother John and Sister Brenda, for coming on and sharing and, you know, giving praise to God and thank our brothers and sisters and also the word. As we read here, my dear beloved, the last day event, Trials of Our Faith. He said, in this time of trial, as we know that trials and temptation and all these things is coming down on God, people, we want to thank Sister Carlo for giving us these wonderful quotes here on our iPod each day, each moment, Lord. We gather here, we have something to help us, Lord, some comforting word. He said, in this time of trial, we need to be encouraged and comforted by one another. So we are on the line to strengthen, to encourage, and to comfort one another, right? We are not an island on ourselves. So that's the reason why God placed us here, that we can come together as brothers and sisters, love brothers and sisters, and that we can share one for another. It's a temptation of Satan are greater than ever before, right? He is working overtime, for he knows that his time is short and that very soon every case will be decided, either for life or for death. It is no time now
to sink down beneath discouragement, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, and trial. We must bear up under all our affliction and trust wholly in the Almighty God of Jacob. The Lord has shown me that His grace is sufficient for all our trials. And although they are greater than ever before, yet if we trust wholly in God, we can overcome every temptation and through His grace can become victorious. So my dear beloved on this line, we can come victorious, right, if we trust Amen. God. So I just want to thank all my brothers and sisters tonight who join, who share their wonderful testimony in song, in reading, in prayer, and even comforting words to each one of us. Thank you again. I'm going to open this line because soon time for us to go in prayer. 843-206, your line is open. Can you hear your name and where you're calling from?
Amen. Thank you so much for opening my line, Sister Powell. This is Sister Tymeka from Florida. I'm so grateful to be here this evening with my beloved brothers and sisters. And I just want to give the Lord praise and honor and glory because He's so worthy to be praised. And He takes good care, but He provides our every need according to His riches and glory. So praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Amen. We love the Lord, and I do have a Bible scripture that I just wanted to share. It's taken from Psalms 121, verses 1 through 8. And it says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made the heavens and the earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. And the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in, from this time forth, even forevermore. So we have a loving and faithful God. We can trust in Him in everything. And I'm just so grateful that we are always with the Lord and we're always praying for each and every person on the prayer line. And I also would like to ask for prayer requests. Pray for everyone on the prayer line. Also asking for requests to pray for my children, my grandchildren. Praying for my mom, Darcy. And just praying for the whole nation. And I do have a song, but if it's nice, I can sing later.
I know. My dear, can you wait until the last portion? We will sing the song at last. But right now we're going to go into prayer.
Okay.
Thank you, my dear beloved Sister Tymeka, for sharing, you know, and also reading a scripture. And we know when we come to the end, we will have your song, right? God bless. So, my dear beloved, now is the time we are going to open for prayer because we are 8:18 and the speaker, you know, we want the speaker to have time that they can come to share the blessings from God to us. So I am going to ask Sister Leola if she could pray for us. Do the prayer. 225-337 would like you to pray. Your general prayer, you hear the requests of each and every one of us. So we ask you if you could open prayer and I will close. Sister Leola, 225-337. Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you now. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, we come before you, Father, at this time to say, Father, thank you.
Thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness, your peace, your long-suffering. Thank you for your goodness and your temperance, all the patience. Oh, Father, thank you. Now, Lord, as we come before you, Father, humble, Lord, seeking you, asking you forgiveness of our sinful ways. Oh, Father, we asking you to look within our heart, Lord. Touch us. Help us now, Father, to come to the understanding, to seek forgiveness, to seek your love and your mercy, that we can have the understanding to plead before you for our family, sisters and brothers. As I heard Sister Brenda say, my nephew, he has passed. Lord Father, the young man was only in his early 20s. I think the young man was just 21. Lord Father, these children are dying younger and younger. Heavenly Father, we pray for them on this night. Who else will we hear that has been shot or killed? Heavenly Father, bad enough, as Sister Power just read, that the devil know he don't have but a short time. And Father, we come into you tonight for pleading for our children, asking you to touch their heart, Father, to surrender self. Lord, help them to know that they live that life. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Heavenly Father, we ask and plead in Jesus that you would help them before they go out and seeking and want to part in, want to do all this foolishness, Lord, but they don't know what is plot for their life, Lord, before they go take that next step. So, Heavenly Father, I'm asking for you to allow them to just settle down, be patient, and look to the hills. Whence cometh our help? Our help cometh from the Lord. Have mercy upon them, Jesus. Let them, and they need for you, Lord, to help them. Lord, to help them from their wicked ways. Oh, Father, so many our youth is dying without a cause. They don't even know, Lord Jesus. So help them right now. Help them to decide to choose life rather than death. Oh, Sister Power just read that powerful script that Satan is warring for your lives. Oh, have mercy. Sisters and brothers, let us take a choice, that right choice. Choose Christ. Oh, Father, thank you right now, Lord, for allowing my brothers and sisters that here on this prayer line, that we can be here, one another, serving and worshiping you, knowing that you are the true living God, and you're not made us a robot. You have us with a choice to choose you, Father. And, Lord, as we are here, hearing and listening to your words, Lord, Father, as I hear Brother John, Father, Brother John chose the right direction. And when he made that choice, Father, you see Brother John's life has been extended. And Heavenly Father, as you have extended his life, Lord, he's out there telling his nephew, I remember them boys. Those boys was hard-headed, and it was tough, and they were mean as an ox. And John went to, they seen Brother John's character. They talked with him. John talked. Oh, have mercy, Lord. I witnessed these young Brother John, young nephews. Lord, and Brother John have made a change. They know what he went through. They knew that he almost died. And, Lord, those young men have changed their lives. Father, thank you so much. Thank you, Lord. And now, Father, we praying for our sisters and our brothers, our mothers and our father's prayer line, Father, that you, Lord, the elder supposed to be the teacher of the young folks, of the young children, Lord, Father, but yet the elders is out there doing worse than the young children, Father. Oh, they're going to be judged. So, Lord, Father, please, allow these young children, Father, to turn to you. Don't look to no man, but look to God.
whom can give them peace, whom can give them life and more abundance. Oh, Father, thank you tonight. Bless each and every one of my sisters and brothers on this prayer line, Lord. Lord, you have given us another day that we can see this day to come to praise you and to worship you. Thank you for this day. Bless Sister Power. I'm so grateful to hear Sister Barnaby on this prayer line. Father, I thank you for allowing her to come once again. And she has prayed to stay faithful on here and praying for the youth and praying on this prayer line that we can stay together. And the Bible tells us those that pray together, stay together. So thank you, Sister Barnaby, for continue to pray for us and continue to lift us up in God. And because in Jesus Christ, because he is the answer. And thank you. And we also are lifting up Brother Rick, mother, and his father, asking you, Father, to continue to strengthen them and give them wisdom, give them understanding, Father, as Brother Rick and his wife went out to see his parents today. Lord, I'm asking you to help them. Help them to understand their dear son, because their son is showing the love and kindness towards their mother and his father. And he wants his mother and father to understand that the true living God that sent, that gave him to them, he wants that same thing. He wants to show that the love that Christ has given him, now he wants to show it to his mother and father. So, Lord, open up their eyes that they may see that our brother Rick is in his place with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he just want to give it to his parents. He want to give it to his children, his wife. He want to give it to all around him. So, Father, please bless each and every one. Allow them to receive what he is reaching out to give. Even the prayer line, brothers and sisters, we want to thank you for Brother Rick and his all the benefits that he gives to us on this prayer line. And Father, I want to pray for brother, lift up Brother Akeem as he's coming to preach and minister to us on the prayer line. Oh, Father, thank you. Oh, Lord, let me end this prayer because, Lord, my heart is filled to go. But, Lord, I'm asking for your power on this prayer line tonight. Be with each and every one. Bless us the power. Bless each and every one of us. Thank you, Father. Blessing and send your Holy Spirit while he can touch each and every one of our hearts to teach us tonight, Lord, that we need to turn it over to Jesus and him only. Thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. Thank you, Sister
Amen.
Powell.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Sister Leola, for coming and praying. And dear, my dear beloved, we are asking you, please, to get your notepad, your King James Version Bible, and also your pen so that you can take all these scripture passages. And when our dear beloved Pastor Akeem finished and you have a question or a query, you can press the one and we will open the line. And the next voice you will hear, my dear beloved, is Pastor Akeem James. And I just want to thank you all for joining, those from Netherlands, those from Africa, those from Washington, those from Maryland, and also those from Louisiana and Tennessee and all over Jamaica. We want to thank you all for joining. The next voice you will hear is our dear beloved Pastor Akeem James. 301-640, your line is open.
All right. Thank you so much, and glad to be with you all once again today. And as we continue studying, thank you for your prayers, and glad for all that are on, and blessings to each and every one of you. As we get into our study today, I just wanted to say a word of prayer as we continue. Father in heaven, I pray that you will illuminate our minds and our hearts, draw us ever closer to you. You not only change us intellectually, but Lord, help us that we may have a truly practical and spiritual experience with you, not just a mental assent to the truth, but Lord, I pray, O God, that you would do what inspiration says, experiments upon human hearts. I pray, O God, that you may transform us, that indeed, if it can be so, Father, in this generation, that we will stand among this group that we are studying here under the sixth seal. Do this work in us and strengthen us, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Friends, I want to propose that as we study today, I made a statement here, and I want to read to you that statement. It really blew my mind when I first heard it. I want to make sure I get it for you. And it's found, I believe, on page 200, and it's found in the book Christian Experiences and Teachings. Probably you guys have seen that acronym before when reading some of Ellen White's writings, CET. It means Christian, it stands for Christian Experiences and Teachings, and this can be found on page 208. And friends, this is what Jesus is seeking to do in us. In the context of the great controversy, there are many who have forgotten that God has made humanity, in the context of the great controversy, to answer the very claims of Satan. The answer to the claims of Satan is humanity. It is the human race. If you read Patriarchs and Prophets, you come to the realization, my mother and I were speaking about this last night, and that is that one of the things that Lucifer had issues with was that apart from seeing himself from a prideful perspective as above and beyond and desiring the throne of the Most High, the place of the Most High, his position, he also hated Christ. So he wanted the throne of God, but he also hated the place of Christ, that Christ held in the Godhead. And he thought, he wondered, why should Christ be exalted above Lucifer? And so after his fall, we read in the book Patriarchs and Prophets, God commanded Christ to reveal his deity by actually creating the world. The claims of Satan were that angels did not need to be governed by God's laws, hence the rebellion. But the next claim was, as he caused man to fall just before the fall of man, we see that in his statement to Eve in the book of Genesis chapter 3, you shall not surely die, against the very command that God had given to not partake of the fruit, Satan stated in his statement against God's command that you shall not surely die, was that humanity does not need to obey the law of God. They do not need to obey God's commands. So to angels, he said, you do not need to obey God's commands. Angels can govern themselves. And secondly, he said that to humanity, the same thing, that you do not need to keep God's commands. And once man fell, the argument became even more diabolical, which is that you cannot. It's not just that you don't need to keep God's law, but now you can't keep it in a sinful state. And this is the doctrine, this is the false doctrine that has spread throughout the churches all across the world, and sadly has even seeped into Adventism, that it is impossible, even through Christ, to be so changed that we can cease from sin. It is not that we would ever realize it, and we see this in the story of Job. We're not talking about prideful, I have arrived mentality. What we're seeing here is just like Job, in the book of Job chapters 1 and 2, we find that in God's sight, in heaven's sight, Job was perfect. But yet in Job's sight, as Job spoke of himself, even though he knew that he did nothing wrong, friends, he saw himself as defiled. He saw himself as a sinner. But in heaven's eyes, he was perfect. So in the final generation of Earth's history, and even throughout the epochs of time, God has had men and women, and especially in the final generation will he have men and women that will reach that point through Christ alone. And as they reach that point, it is not that they would say, I have arrived. They will not even know it. In heaven's eyes, God will know and angels will know and understand. They have been perfected in character. But they themselves, as they draw closer to Jesus, what do we read in the book Steps to Christ? The closer and closer we come to Christ, the more sinful we appear in our own eyes. So they will remember their shortcomings. They will remember their failings. That they will also remember that even though maybe their characters are perfected, their tendencies, which is our sinful nature, is still pulling us, but we will have gotten to the point where we resist those urges and pulls. This is where God is seeking to bring us, to not remove the sinful nature, but to cause us to be victors over it in this world. The sinful nature is removed at the second coming. But friends, even with a sinful nature in this life, God says, if you depend on me, I can help you to be perfect at every stage of your development. And this will answer ultimately the claims of the enemy. Does man need God's government? Can man actually keep in harmony with God's system and his order and his laws? This is what I want to read to you. This is found in Christian Experiences and Teachings. This word, friends, is what will cause the universe to marvel. It states here, the Lord Jesus is making experiments on human hearts through the exhibition of his mercy and abundant grace. Friends, that's powerful. Who is doing it? It's not us, but it is as we depend on Jesus, as we look to him, he does the work in us, therefore causing us to will and to do of God's good pleasure. Because he is working within, good works come without. That's why it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But the previous verse says, because it is God who works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure, friends. Hence, in this statement, we find the same point. The Lord Jesus is making experiments on human hearts through the exhibition of his mercy and abundant grace. He is effecting transformations so amazing that, watch this, friends, that Satan, with all his triumphant boasting, with all his confederacy of evil united against God and the laws of his government, stands viewing them, that is, those who are transformed, as a fortress impregnable to his sophistries and delusions. Friends, this is where God is trying to get us. And he has gotten men and women there throughout the ages. But at the end, he will have an entire generation that will get to that point. Despite what Satan and his angels do, despite what the whole army of hell does against us, confederates against us, notice what the statement says. Satan will stand viewing these people who have connected themselves to Jesus, viewing them as a fortress impregnable, meaning he can't get through. All that we may be able to experience that in our own lives. That God, that Jesus Christ builds us up to such an extent, that we allow him to do that work in us to such an extent, that our surrender is so complete as he moves us to surrender. That, friends, Satan cannot pierce through. He cannot come through in order to get us to fall. We become impregnable. He cannot get us to stumble. No delusion can lead us astray. And what does it say? This kind of work that Jesus is doing and the results of it, how does Satan see it? Listen to the next statement. They, that means those who stand impregnable against his devices, they are to him, that is Satan, an incomprehensible mystery. Oh! In other words, he stands astonished at how is this possible? How can man, these people who I knew, the background of their lives, their failings, their wicked ways, their addictions, their habits, their faulty characters, their lack of self-control and of patience and of love, how is it that Jesus can do such a work in people like that? Oh, friends, you may be there today. I know that I am in my own life. God is working on me in my own experience. And he's saying to me, Akeem, if you continue trusting, if you continue abiding, if you continue to hold on and surrender, friends, the promise to us is this. I will make you an impregnable fortress that not even the enemy and all of his angels can pierce through. I will make you an incomprehensible mystery to the devil and the whole host of those who have followed him. Can you imagine that, friends? That Christ can do such a work in you and I that it causes the fallen angels to marvel, to stand in wonder, to realize they can't understand how this can happen. The statement continues. It's not just fallen angels who marvel at this. The statement continues by saying, the angels of God, seraphim and cherubim, the powers commissioned to cooperate with human agencies, look on with astonishment and joy that fallen men, once children of wrath, are through the training of Christ, developing characters after the divine similitude, to be sons and daughters of God, to act an important part, here it is, in the occupations and pleasures of heaven. And the reason she could say occupations is because, friends, and positions, occupations and pleasures, I should say, is because you remember, you're told in inspiration, that when Lucifer and his angels fell, it left a vacancy in heaven. And friends, we are told in inspiration that mankind was meant. The reason that mankind was created was to fill up that vacancy. So friends, you and I, this is why it's very interesting, because it happens on a smaller scale in this world at the end of time. You remember, we read statements like, as the end approaches, a large class who once professed faith in the third angel's message will depart from us and actually become our worst enemies. And then it goes on to say that those who were in the world who hear the final message will come in and take the places of those who fell out. Those who left their positions and went into apostasy will be filled up by those who received the message, turned from wrath to righteousness. They will fill up the redeemed numbers again. But then, all of the redeemed now combined will make up the positions that Lucifer and his angels lost. So we see it on a heavenly scale, and then we see it on a human scale. Human scale at the end of time, meaning that at the end of time, there will be many who leave from our ranks, and those who come in will fill the positions of those who left. But on a heavenly scale now, all of the redeemed will then take the places of the fallen angels. And so I pray that this makes sense, friends. God wants to make you and I, in light of our failings, in light of our past failures, in light of present circumstances, even though we feel like, Lord, I can never make it, you may feel like that today. There are times when dark clouds come into your experience and you feel, how can God save me? But I tell you the truth, friends. Jesus is and desires to make an experiment of your life, to take you and to make you an impregnable fortress, an incomprehensible mystery that causes fallen and unfallen angels to marvel. Fallen angels to marvel in anger. Unfallen angels to marvel in joy, to see that, wow, Jesus told us, he said, I can, because the unfallen angels are wondering, Lord, how can you bring us, how can you bring them to a point where they can live with us and where they can live with unfallen beings who have never sinned? It's not even in thought. And Christ says, watch me do it. Watch the experiments that I will do. And when they see it, it becomes the evidence. Wow. Lord, we're looking forward to welcoming them home because we're seeing the work that you're doing in their lives. The fruit is there. as it says for the unfallen angels. It says here, the angels of God, seraphim and cherubim, the powers commissioned to cooperate with human agencies. And it's no wonder, because they're right with us. They're communicating, they're connecting, they're cooperating with us. We may not feel them, we may not see them, but friends, they're angels with you right now. Unfallen angels right beside you. And as Jesus does the experiments in your life, because they're so near, it says they look on with astonishment and joy at what Jesus is doing in your life. Do not give up. If you have slipped up, get up. Do not turn from Christ. It may not seem like you're getting anywhere today, but he is doing a work. You may not feel like he's doing anything, but he is. Only trust him, and he will get you to where he wants you to be. Only trust him, friends, and allow him in so that he can bring you from where you are to where he desires for you to be. This will be the experience. I quoted that statement, friends, because this will be the experience. This has been the experience of men and women who have trusted in Jesus across the ages. But it will especially be the experience of the final generation. There are two places. Last week we got to the subject of the 144,000. We saw that after probation closes, this group is formed just before, and they go through the time. Just before probation closes, and they go through the time between the closing of probation and the second coming of Christ. This is the group. This is why we read about, and how do we know it's just before? Because you remember, the four angels were about to release their hands, right? Were about to release their grasp from one another. And the call came out, do not do it, because the understanding is, if they let go, the four winds will be released upon the earth. We found out last week, according to Proverbs chapter 1, verses 25 through 26, that the winds in Scripture symbolize desolation, destruction, commotion, strife, all of these things that relate to desolation. And so what is God saying? There is a worldwide desolation, commotion, strife that will come upon the nations. But right now there are heavenly intelligences symbolized under the term four angels standing at the four corners of the earth. Heavenly intelligences in the courtrooms across the world, in the places where major decisions are being made, and in places where secret decisions are being made. And they are holding back the calamity that could come if those decisions were to go through. And so why are they holding back? Why are they doing this work? Because the sealing, the final sealing, has not taken place yet. And I say the final sealing because there is a seal that all believers receive. We read about this in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 tells us the following. It says in Ephesians chapter 4 and I'll actually read chapter 4, verse 30. It says, nevertheless, hold on 1 second, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, it says the following, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby or by whom you are sealed unto the day of redemption. All right, so there's a seal that the Holy Spirit places upon us. And what is that seal, by the way? Friends, if you go back to the book of Isaiah tells us this. Isaiah tells us this in Isaiah chapter 8, and we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 16 onward. I'm going to read it from there. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 16. It says, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. Right? So if we read from there, and then it goes down all the way to the famous verse 20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So the very thing that is related to light, the law and the testimony, is the very thing that God seals us with. So he seals the law among his disciples. And you remember, even the Ten Commandments were called the testimony, right? So we have this understanding. There are times that the testimony is related to the writings of the prophets, and there were times that it also related to God's law, the Ten Commandments, his principles. And so what the Holy Spirit does is when he comes into the life, that's why we must ask for him every day, when he comes into the experience, meaning when we surrender to Christ, receive his sacrifice for us, we receive him as a personal Savior because of the leadings of the Spirit. Once we do that, the Spirit now has permission to do an even greater work. Because make no error, make no qualms about it. The Holy Spirit is leading us from our mother's womb all the way to the time that we finally surrender. And the time when we finally surrender, he has the permission now to do a greater work. And so what is the work he is seeking to do? To seal the law within our hearts, that our hearts, under the auspices of the new covenant, becomes the tablets, and God etches his law upon our hearts. But God knows that it is not enough for the Spirit to etch the law in our hearts. So what does the Spirit do to the believers? If you go back to the book of Ephesians, there are many who say, okay, yes, I used to make this mistake as well, so I am part of that. I was part of that as well. So I used to say, well, the Holy Spirit is not a seal. He does the sealing, right? And that statement is only half true. So the Holy Spirit does the sealing. It is true. But go back. So remember, we read in Ephesians 4, verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit whereby, meaning by whom, you are sealed unto the day of redemption. So the Holy Spirit comes and he does a sealing work, right? And what does he seal there? He seals the law. True. So the Holy Spirit does the work of sealing the law into our hearts. And so people read that and they're like, you see, the Holy Spirit does the sealing. He's not the seal. Friends, we have to compare scripture to scripture. So we're in the book of Ephesians. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to read here in verse 12, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 12. This is something that I missed for many years. This is where righteousness by faith truly comes in. It says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 12 that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now look at this statement, verse 13, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, here it is, in whom also after that you believe, here it is, you were not just sealed by, but you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Do you see that? So it's not just that the Holy Spirit comes and he puts a seal, which is the law, into our hearts. Friends, it's not just the law that is the seal. According to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 30, the Holy Spirit himself comes, and he puts himself as a seal. Now, why is that? One of the ways that I love to explain this is that in the days of William Miller, before he became devoted to Christianity and became a minister, he was what you call a deist. A deist is someone who believes in God. They believe in God, but they see him as a clockmaker. So in other words, what I mean by that? And they also see the Bible as a moral book. Not all the miracles are spiritualized. It's all the miracles of Jesus and the powerful things that were done in Scripture that were miraculous. They attribute it to meaning, to saying that it was symbols, or there's some deeper meaning. These things really didn't actually happen. And this is what deists believe. Now, I said they believe God. They see God as a clockmaker. What does that mean? God came and he created the world, and he set the world in motion as a clockmaker sets a clock into motion, makes the clock, puts the batteries in, and sets it into motion. But then that watch is sold. The clockmaker, probably that original clockmaker, probably will never come in contact with that clock again. And this is what deists believe, that God created the world, he set it into motion, but then he left it. God is not intimate with this world. He is not involved in the affairs that happen on planet Earth. William Miller believed that until the War of 1812, when in the battle itself he saw men die, yet he didn't die. He saw bullets pass right by his head, yet he himself was not hit. When you're in that kind of traumatic situation, friends, you can only say, the only way that I'm alive is that God has to be involved. And so his views began to change as he realized that God was seeking not just to create the world. God did not just create the world, but God was intimately involved in the affairs of his life. And friends, the reason that I mention this is because as it is physically, God does not just create something and have it. He creates it and he stays there and he upkeeps the laws. This is why we read in Inspiration, we are told that God has made the worlds and he upholds them. In Christ, all things consist. So God doesn't just create things and leave. He creates, and somehow he is able to be present with it and uphold it. In the same way as it is with creation, so is it with redemption. The Holy Spirit does not just put laws in our hearts. He does not only come and just set into motion the laws of heaven within the human heart. He doesn't just come and set into motion the new covenant and leave. No, friends, he himself is also a seal. He comes, sets it into motion, and stays there. Somehow he is able to do this with every heart. This is the miracle of redemption. That's why it's such a mystery. Because he is able to be with every heart and plant the law of God in there and then remain there to make sure that it is sustained and upheld. This is the power of the sealing. So God is doing that in every generation with those who surrender to Christ. But in the end of time, there is that experience along with the end time seal, which is a seal of protection. That's what we're looking at in Revelation chapter 7. The seal that is placed upon the heads of the 144,000 is a seal of protection. Verses 3, Revelation chapter 7, verses 3 and 4, it says, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. So in other words, don't release these things until those who are marked for protection are marked. Don't release this calamity and destruction until those who will be marked with the protection have been marked in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there was sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. So this is a mark of protection so that when the four winds are released, it is clear that these people are not to be touched. This is serious, friends, because these people, as we mentioned last week, they go through the time just before the little time of trouble, and the great time of trouble after probation closes. They go through the time of the four winds being released when there will be commotion and desolation upon the earth, which at the same time you find the seven last plagues being poured out. They go through all of this and live through it all the way up to the second coming. That is powerful. That's why they are protected. They have been marked, that they be protected when these things are unleashed in the world. And so as we read this, friends, there are two places in which you read 144,000 directly. In other words, they are mentioned directly. One is, as we just read in Revelation chapter 7, verses 3 and 4. But then there is Revelation chapter 14, and it gives us a little more detail concerning the seal. We find out that the seal, yes, is a seal of protection, but it's also something else. It says, and I heard Revelation chapter 14, verses 1 to 5. And I heard, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their forehead. So do you see it? In Revelation chapter 7, the seal of the living God is placed in the foreheads of the 144,000. But in Revelation 14, we see that the Father's name is placed in the heads of the 144,000. Why? Because the Father's name and the seal of the living God is the same thing. It is the same thing. Now, friends, you remember, what does the name represent in the Bible? What does a person's name represent? It represents their character and their mission. Their character and their mission. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, his name shall be called Jesus. Why? His mission. For he shall save his people from their sins. Jacob, his name was Jacob. Why? Because he grabbed his brother by the heel. And he was seen from that time on as a heel grabber. In other words, a deceiver, which is what he was for a good portion of his life. And that came back to bite him in certain cases with Laban and other situations that he went through. So we realize that the name represents the character and the mission of the individual. So in other words, the 144,000, for them to have the Father's name in their foreheads, it symbolizes that they have the Father's character fully reproduced in them. And we realize, when does that have to happen? It has to take place just before, and especially when, what? Galatians tells us. Because they're going to be a time that cannot escape being directly affected by unless you have the name of God written on your foreheads, which is the sign that they are to be protected. The sign to the angelic world, as destruction is going through the world, the sign to the angelic world that this group is not to be touched is the fact that they reflect the image of Jesus fully, which is the Father's name, by the way. This is why the seal of God is deeper than just the subject of the Sabbath. The seal of God, and we'll touch on that next week, and we'll read some statements from the Spirit of Prophecy concerning this group. But we have said over the years, and we are correct, based on Scripture, the seal of the living God meaning Creator God. Paul and his associate, as they went out to spread the news of salvation, they came among a group that worshipped them, that they healed someone in the midst of that group. This can be found in Acts chapter 14. They healed someone in that group, and as they healed that person, the people that were there began to want to worship them as gods. They rejected the worship, and Paul says, and I'll read it to you here as we are about to wrap up. I'll read it from the book of Acts. It's found in the book of Acts as we close. Acts chapter 14, and it says the following. Acts chapter 14 and verse 15, it says, and saying, so I'll read it from verse 13. Then the priests of Jupiter, which were before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people unto Paul and Barnabas. It says, when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people crying out. Now notice what they say. And saying, sirs, why do ye these things? We are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto, look at the wording, the living God, the seal of the living God. Notice that phrase, the living God. Now, who is the living God? Notice what Paul says next. That you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein. You see that? So the living God means the Creator. It's another way of saying the Creator. So in other words, for the 144,000 to be sealed with the seal of the living God, it means that they are sealed with the seal of the Creator. And friends, how did the Creator seal off the creation week? Which is what he created. He is called Creator because of the creation week. How did he seal off the creation that he made concerning our world and humanity. He sealed it off with a day of rest, a day in which he did nothing except for dwelling in a certain space of time and blessing that time, sanctifying that time, so that, friends, it would be a sign to us that we should do the same. So the Sabbath truly is the day which is the seal of the living God. The seal of the Creator is the Sabbath. But friends, Revelation 14 reveals to us that this goes deeper. The Sabbath is a symbol, while a literal day is a symbol of an experience that we must have. And what is that experience? The experience of having Jesus do such an experiment upon our hearts that by the time this time comes, the Father's name is completely restored in our characters. Meaning that Jesus is reproduced. Jesus comes to us by the Spirit to fully reproduce in us himself, which is, by extension, the Father's character. To reveal Jesus more fully is to reveal the Father's character more fully, for Christ was sent into the world to reveal the Father. So if we reveal Christ perfectly, we then reveal the Father. Friends, this is the work God is calling us to. It is not just the work of keeping a day, but to realize what the day is calling us to. It is calling us to a deeper experience for which God is fully revealed in that. Divinity flashing through humanity. With that, let's have a word of prayer. Father, as we close, I know we went a little over time, Lord, but I pray that this may be praise to the people. Father, continue to guide me from us, Lord. And if it be part of your eternal plan, that, Lord, we may stand among this group. Jesus Christ, in your name.
Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Make
sure you can hear me.
Yes, we hear you. You can close out, Kelly. Thanks for the message.
Yes. Okay.
You can.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you, Brother Akeem, for bringing us that message. And just so blessing to hear how God's going to use his Sabbath to be the seal. That's the seal of God. We know how God is speaking to us through that Sabbath, and we are so grateful of God's Sabbath, and we appreciate you bringing this message to us clear, because everybody don't understand it. So as you continue to bring the next message. Oh, brothers and sisters, Brother Akeem won't be here next Sabbath. We will have another speaker, but it is Pastor Akeem now. He is in the conference. He's a pastor now, so we address him as Pastor Akeem. Sometimes I forget, but Pastor Akeem come to preach the message on this prayer line, and he's not paid on this prayer line, but he come faithfully for the last past years, and he don't ask for nothing. But by God's grace, one day we could bless him with something, but we are thanking
Amen.
Him tonight for
Amen.
His good.
Amen.
Amen. So we want to thank
Amen.
You tonight, and we want to ask that God be with you and take care of everyone, and everyone be blessed. And I'm going to close with this song. So thank you once again, Brother Akeem, and God bless everyone. Thank you, Sister Powell, for your hosting, co-hosting too. Amen. So we playing this song,
Amen.
Come Thou Fountain Every Blessing. Oh, Sister Powell, sorry, my computer won't play.
Okay.
So
all
you
right.
Can play
I don't. Yes, I will play a song, but I don't see that one on my key. Okay. Oh, boy. Where the sun creating me a clean heart, oh, Lord. Okay.
getting that opening.
Well, we can say goodnight to our brothers and sisters.
Okay, amen.
Creating me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Creating me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me.
Amen. Good night, my dear beloved. I'm just going to end my one action.
Good night, my brothers and sisters. My computer won't shut down. So thank you, Sister Power.
Chapter 5, The Bible as a Textbook. The child's first textbook. The Bible should be the child's first textbook. From this book, parents are to give wise instruction. The Word of God is to be made the rule of the life. From it, the children are to learn that God is their Father, and from the beautiful lessons of His Word, they are to gain a knowledge of His character. Through the inculcation of its principles, they are to learn to do justice and judgment. A book of promises, blessings, and reproofs. The mother must keep her mind refreshed and stored with the promises and blessings of God's Word, and also the forbidden things, that when her children do wrong, she may present as a reproof the words of God and show them how they are grieving the Spirit of God. Teach them that the approbation and smiles of Jesus are of greater value than the praise or flattery or approval of the most wealthy, the most exalted, the most learned of earth. Lead them to Jesus day by day, lovingly, tenderly, earnestly. You must not allow anything to come between you and this great work. Its study builds character. The lessons of the Bible have a moral and religious influence on the character as they are brought into the practical life. Timothy learned and practiced these lessons. The great apostle often drew him out and questioned him in regard to scripture history. He showed him the necessity of shunning every evil way and told him that blessing would surely attend all who are faithful and true, giving them a faithful, noble manhood. A noble all-around manhood does not come by chance. It is the result of the molding process of character, building in the early years of youth, and a practice of the law of God in the home. God will bless the faithful efforts of all who teach their children as He has directed. It presents God's love as a pleasant theme. The children in every family are to be brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Evil propensities are to be controlled, evil tempers subdued, and the children are to be instructed that they are the Lord's property, bought with His own precious blood, and they cannot live a life of pleasure and vanity. have their own will and carry out their own ideas and yet be numbered among the children of God.